All right, good evening. Let's turn our Bibles to Psalm 61. Psalm 61, to the chief musician upon Neginah, a psalm of David. First one. Hear my cry, O God, attend unto my prayer. From the end of the earth will I cry unto thee, when my heart is overwhelmed. Lead me to the rock that is higher than I. For thou hast been a shelter for me, and a strong tower for me. I will abide in thy tabernacle forever. I will trust in the covert of thy wings. For thou, O God, hast heard my vows. Thou hast given me the heritage of those that fear thy name. Thou wilt prolong the king's life, and his years as many generations. He shall abide before God forever. O prepare mercy and truth, which may preserve him. So will I sing praise unto thy name forever, that I may daily perform my vows. Let's pray. Lord, we pray that you would grant us understanding of your word. Help us to find comfort in these words, and teach us, O Lord, what prayer is and the answers that we ought to expect to our prayers. We pray this in Christ's name. Amen. Now, when our troubles are too large for us to handle, God's shelter and assurance are always at hand. Now, this Psalm of David is written for a time of affliction. Now, when was this? We're not very sure, but we know that he was a king. Now, verse 6 tells us he's a king. He writes in such a manner to ask God to preserve the king. And so we get the idea that he was probably that king. And if it was, if he was the king, then there really was only one time when he was away from the tabernacle. You see in verse 4, we see here that he longed to be restored to the tabernacle, right? Because he was not there. He wanted to abide in the tabernacle forever. That was part of his prayer, which means that very likely he was exiled. And the only time that this happened was when he was ousted from his throne by his son Absalom. Right? So David is not only facing danger, which he has faced many times, but David here is facing mortal danger from his own son. Now, we just want to go through the psalm very quickly before we go on to the points. We'll want to take a quick summary here. Now, according to verse 1, David is desperately crying out to God to hear his cry, and not just to hear, but what does he want God to do? To attend. Not just hear, but to attend. And we see in verse 2 that he will cry from the ends of the earth, right? Verse 2 also says that he is overwhelmed, right? He is facing a big flood, as it were, and he asks to be lifted to the higher rock. Now, God has been a help to him. Right, he is a strong tower, and this idea that on this rock that he wants to be lifted up to, there is a high tower, there's a fortress. Now, he's confident that God will answer. He's confident that he will return to the tabernacle, return to the covert of God's wings. Now, this gives you the imagery of God's tabernacle. You have wings there in the tabernacle. Now, what does this remind you of? Where are there wings in the tabernacle? In the Ark of the Covenant, right? You have there the mercy seat, and the mercy seat, you have the wings of the cherubim, right? So this is probably an allusion to that. Then in verse 5, he makes his vows. He's confident that God hears them, and he's confident that because he fears God, he would be blessed. That's what verse 5 tells us, and he's confident that God would hear him, his life would be prolonged, he would have a lasting, verse 6, he would abide with God forever, verse 7, and God would be praised forever, verse 8. All right, so that's a rough summary of the psalm. And there are actually three lessons that we can draw from this psalm. Now, there are more than three lessons, but coming from this perspective, I believe that there are three lessons on prayer that we can learn from the psalm. So firstly, we can learn the character of true prayer. Secondly, the object of true prayer. And thirdly, the answer of true prayer, or the answer to true prayer. So firstly, the character of true prayer. David here was away. He really wanted to return back to the tabernacle. And we see there are two characteristics. Firstly, true prayer believes that God answers prayer. Now here we see that David cries to God, asks God to hear his prayer and to attend to his prayer. So this tells us that David was not only asking God to hear, but he was asking God to answer. Right? Don't just hear, but listen and attend to it. You know, I've got two kids, and those of you who've got kids, you realize that, you know, you say something to them once, you've got to say it twice. Not just twice, you've got to say it three times. Because do they hear? Sure they hear, but do they listen? Not always. Right? Now, David is not saying that God does not listen, but he is pleading with God, not just to hear, but to listen and to do something about it. Now, this is a striking difference between, you know, the true believer who trusts in God and the one who simply says he trusts, the formalist. You know, in religion, you know, I mean, whether it's in Christianity or religion, you have those who are the formalists, those who go through the motions, and those who really believe. You know, the formalist is happy, you know, with the fact that he has prayed. But the true believer is not happy. He is only happy when he has an answer, right? So he has this holy discontentment until God answers his prayer. Now, this does not mean that he is dissatisfied with God. You know, Jesus gave the example of the importunate widow, right? He gave the example of the man who knocks on the door to get bread when it's, I don't know, like 12 a.m. You know, all the kids are asleep. It talks about persistence, and that is how prayer ought to be, right? So it doesn't mean that David was dissatisfied. It doesn't mean that he was murmuring. Or it doesn't mean that he hasn't left his burden on the cross, but he knows that God will answer prayer, right? And I'm praying until God answers, right? The psalmist says, hear my cry. And he says, attend to my prayer. So the character of true prayer, right, is that it believes that God will answer. Now, the second characteristic of prayer is this. It never gets so bad that we can't pray. Now, in verse 2, what was David saying? He will cry out to God from where? The end of the earth, the end of the, right? So, I mean, you could, I mean, David was he at the end of the world, end of the earth? Well, you know, it may not literally be so, but figuratively, he was at his wit's end. It was the end of the world for David. But yet, it was not the end of prayer. Now, David was far from the tabernacle at Zion. You know, God is not a local idol. He's not tied to one mountain. He's not tied to one shrine. He's not tied just to the tabernacle, right? David was far away from there, but yet he could call to God. God would hear him. Right, and even though the sacrifices were performed in the temple, in the tabernacle, the promises of the sacrifices extended far beyond the temple. Right, wherever he was, whether you know, he was with the sacrifices, whether he was with the tabernacle, it did not matter, because the gospel represented by the temple, by the sacrifices, belonged to David. Right? So wherever God is, that's where true religion is. Right? So what we learn here is the end of the earth, the end of the world, is not the end of prayer. Right? But the end of prayer is the end of man. Now that's how you could look at it. So David was saying that it never gets so bad that you can't pray. Never gets so bad that you can't pray. So that's the character of prayer. It believes, and right, nothing is too bad that you can't pray. Now secondly, we see the object of true prayer. And here, true prayer expresses faith in Christ. Now verse 2, David says he feels really overwhelmed. You know, he's almost inundated. There's a flood, and that he needs to be led to a rock that is higher than he. Now, of course, we as New Testament Christians, we know who that rock is, right? Who is that rock? It's Christ. It's Jesus, right? Now, David here was saying that, I know there's a rock. The rock exists. That rock is higher than I am. I need to get to that rock, but by myself, I cannot get to the rock. What does he say? You know, he's not saying here that he can get to the rock, but he says, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. In other words, he can't get there by himself. He needs someone to lead him. His cry here is to the one who can accomplish this. Now, the first thing is that he must be led to the rock. Right? He needs to be shown where it is. And because the rock is higher than he is, two things must follow. If he gets up on it, then he will be saved. But because it is higher than he is, can he get up on it by himself? He can't. He needs someone to lead him there and to place him there. You see this from his words. He recognizes that there's something that will save him, that rock. But he also recognizes he can't get there on his own. And this is the same for everyone who prays. Right? We pray, we rely on the help of the Spirit, right? We ask Christ for help. You know? The rock here is that familiar term for Christ. And it conveys his strength, his permanence. So like us, David needed a savior who is stronger and greater than he. So when we have trouble, it is more of Christ that we need. Now thirdly, we see the answer to true prayer. Now we've learned that the object of prayer is Jesus. And what is the answer? The answer is contentment. The contentment he brings is the answer to true prayer. Now, when we have more Christ in the midst of our trouble, we find is the answer that we need. I mean, this shows you, right? If you're poor, right? Sure, money is a solution, but what is the greater solution? We all know that it is contentment. Right? If you're sick, what is the solution? Healing. But in that one sense, if healing doesn't come, what is the greater solution? Endurance. Right? When you're at odds with your enemy, you know, one great solution is vindication. But what's a better solution? Forgiveness. Right? So David here was far away. Right, but Christ is the answer to his prayers. Right? Because God may never answer our prayers the way we want him to, but he answers it in supplying contentment in Christ. And that's what David says in verse 4. I will abide in thy tabernacle forever. I will trust in the covert of thy wings. I will trust in your... Now, what's the covert of the wings again? What is it on? The mercy seat, right? So here, the answer to his prayer is mercy, right? Is mercy. Jesus is that mercy seat. You know, Jesus is the rock that is higher, much higher than we are. Now, Jesus is that tower, that fortress on top of that rock. Jesus is the tabernacle, right? And Jesus is the Ark of the Covenant. He is the mercy seat, the one that covers the wrath of God, right? You know, you have the Ark of the Covenant. Anyone remember what's inside the Ark? You have the Ten Commandments, right? What else do you have? Manna. And what? The rod, the budding rod. So here, if God were to open his Ark of the Covenant, he would judge us with his laws. He will say, I've provided food for you against me, and I've given you leadership, right? Someone to lead you, but you refused his leadership, right? But what does God do? He covers the ark. He covers his judgment with the mercy seat, right? He covers it. And so the answer is here, that the solution is here. You know, when we go to Christ, when we pray, the answer is not so much that all our prayers will be answered, but if they are not at that particular time, the answer is still Christ's mercy. He'll give us the grace and the mercy to endure. He'll give us the grace and the mercy to forgive. He'll give us the grace and mercy, right, to survive. So what then do you do when your heart is overwhelmed, like David's was? Well, you pray, believing, expecting an answer, you know, relying on Christ. And the answer is the mercy of God. We fly to Jesus, and really nothing else makes sense. So may this be an encouragement from the psalm, right, showing the heart and the perspective that David had. So, you know, we may pray for everyone on the prayer list. God answers our prayer all the time according to his will. But sometimes the prayers that we utter are not answered in the way that we want them to. But there is always mercy. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you that Christ is the rock that is higher than we are. And we also that by your mercy you have led us to Christ. We are frequently overwhelmed, Lord, by our struggles. Teach us to come to Christ, the object of our prayer, and teach us to receive that contentment, that confidence, that mercy. And help us, O Lord, as we continue in our various struggles, to be confident in your mercy. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.